KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 26th annual Cascade Festival of African Films from February 5th through March 5th. Most of the films will screen at Portland Community College Cascade Campus, and two films will show at the Hollywood Theater. The five-week-long festival of feature and documentary films come from all over the African continent and include Thursday evening documentary screenings, Family Film Day, and Women Filmmakers Week, held during the first week of March in celebration of Women's History Month. Again, that's 26th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, playing Thursday through Saturday until March 5th. Most of the films will screen at Portland Community College Cascade Campus, 705 North Killingsworth Street, in the Arts and Humanities Building in Room 104. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Mae Roberts, stage and studio. A burst of thunder followed by rain. This is one of the most memorable moments for me from Shakespeare's King Lear. That's when Lear shouts into the howling winds and rain as he descends into anguish and madness. Today we talk about Post Five Theater's new season, which is starting off with King Lear. We'll talk with director and co-artistic director Rusty Newton Tennant and veteran actor Tobias Anderson, who plays King Lear. And later this half hour, we'll talk with Alan Noss, actor and former artistic director of Artist Repertory Theater. He's starring in Corrib Theater's Northwest premiere of Chapati by Christian O'Reilly. It's a full show, so stay with us. This is Station Studio. I'm Dima Roberts. With me in the studio are Rusty Newton Tennant. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back. And veteran actor Tobias Anderson. Hello.
Good morning.
Toby,
good
I know.
Morning. Either or.
Welcome to you both, the stage and studio. I also want to do a shout out and thank you for that music riff by Portland musician Clark Salisbury. First off, Rusty, let's talk about Post Five Theater
and the new season
and how you're one of the three new artistic directors. Tell us how that happened and how it's working.
We only have 20 minutes, honey.
So, maybe just 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. New co-artistic directors, Paul Angelo, who most people obviously know, and Patrick Walsh, who is actually fairly new to town, but has an outstanding pedigree. The three of us were hired to come in and take the reins once Ty Boyce and Cass Boyce decided to move up to the San Juan Islands to do theater up there. And so, yeah, it's been an amazing experience.
How does it work with three people? Do you have like separate functions that you do or specialties?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd love to say that we just came in and knew exactly what each person was going to do. And in some ways, we kind of did. We knew that I was more technically minded and I would take on that sort of approach to it and all, and we knew that, you know, we each had our own skill set, but we didn't assign roles
right.
And say, you know, this it more naturally fell. It also has to be able to fluctuate, because when we get into directing productions, there are things that need to fall to the others. The Post Five is as massive as any season in town.
Well, you've got King Lear and then Othello coming out.
And then we got Desdemona, a play about a handkerchief. Then we got Stupid Kids and the Outright Festival. Then
So the Outright Festival is going to be
at Post Five this year in conjunction with Fuse on Theater, mm-hmm. Fuse Theater Ensemble. And then we come back with Bomedy of Airs in September, followed by Richard III.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Followed by this awesome play, Coyote on a Fence. And then Philip Burns' one-man Christmas Carol.
And that's all for 1 year?
Yeah. It is as big of a season as you're going to find at a theater in any... So the idea of having three co-artistic directors, especially when you take on the, you know, or when you understand that none of us are getting paid a salary to do what we do, so we all have to have other jobs. To have three artistic directors actually makes sense in this situation, no doubt about it.
Well, it's a Shakespeare-heavy season, as well as everything else. And so... Do you think that's going to change with this new leadership after the next year? Or was this season already set in place before you came in?
Part of it was we modified a few things because some of the shows we didn't know as well. When we looked at the season that had been presented, we saw some real financial missteps that we might want to avoid, considering where we were financially. And so we decided to go with a few other smaller cast shows that we actually also knew and could already come with a concept, or at least how it would fit into our season. So there's been a lot of things that we've had to put, ducks that we've had to get in a row. And a lot of that has been, choosing this new season and how we might want to adjust or keep the things that they had already set up.
So Lear is opening February 26th. You've got Othello in April with Ithaca Tell as a female Othello, which is interesting as well. And you
That's a mostly female cast.
It is?
Yeah. Okay. Caitlin Margo Fisher-Drager is directing. It is certainly an approach to the text through a feminine or female.
I don't think I've ever had experienced that before. So
I don't think I have with this one either. I mean, I've been a part of gender bent casts in this one, but not one that is really so focused from the female perspective.
Yeah, sounds really fascinating. And so your King Lear, is that straight through William Shakespeare adaptation? Or
when you ask if we're going to continue to do Shakespeare, one of the reasons I wanted to do this job is because of how much Shakespeare it allows us the opportunity for. I'm a bit of a classicist. I'm a first folio guy. I love the first folio for the information that it gives me, and so I really do approach. I don't mess with too much. I'll cut. I believe that they're living texts.
Yeah. How long would it be if it wasn't?
This show easily goes 3:15, three and a half hours, and it's certainly one of the longer ones if you do the full text.
Wow.
Even in this one we have two intermissions, so I'm going with a bit more of a classical approach to just the evening of theater.
So it is an evening of theater, a full evening.
We still get it in 2.5 hours, but we give the audience some breathing time. That storm wants to live.
Yeah,
alone.
Yeah. The storm is a big feature of that
its
show.
Moment, yeah.
So. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, talking with Rusty Newton Tennant of Post 5 Theater, and we'll also be talking with veteran actor Tobias Anderson, who is starring as King Lear, and the show runs February 26th through March 19th at Post 5 Theater. And you can find out more at post5theater.org or stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. King Lear is a popular tragedy telling the story of an elder king who divides his kingdom between three daughters, and he's trying to do this to avoid any conflict after his death, but what happens is that it destroys his family, tears apart the kingdom, throwing it into a state of war, and this king basically finds that everything that he has wanted has actually left him. So Tobias, you are playing this man who goes through so many changes.
Indeed, I am.
You know, I guess the definition of tragedy is starting, story wise, starting with somebody who's at the very top of his game, top of his life, and watching it descend, and fall apart. So. I remember. Have you ever played Lear before?
No. I've gotten pretty close so many times. I've actually played Gloucester at the California Shakespeare Festival. I've played Albany at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And I've even had a close run about, 4 years ago? I think it was the second season of Portland Shakespeare
Project.
Cynthia Whitcomb's Lear's Folly, which was a wonderful experience. First time I've ever had a play write a play.
Well, you were Lear in that play.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and and wonderful. But, and Shakespeare has a few more words. How's that?
A lot more words. A lot more words. I mean, it's a great deal for any actor to memorize, right? At any stage of their life. I mean, it's really the best role, though, for an older actor, isn't it? I mean, does it come any better than that?
Well, I'd put Prospero up there somewhere.
Prospero up there. Yeah, there you go. The top two.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a range of emotion as much as humanly possible you go through every
single one of them. Well, he certainly goes through it. We've had some interesting discussions about the range of emotions and all that, and the Rusty's director. And one of the things I have found interesting, and I think I've sort of incorporated, at least I hope that, in the theater, of course, good stealing is part of our process.
Imitation is the
process. But one of the most important recent years has been Simon Russell Beale of the Royal Shakespeare. And he has, there are a number of clips that you can see about it, and it's been interesting to watch. Rusty, is it his nephew or his brother or what? I can't remember.
It's a relative. I can't remember exactly who it was, but it isn't his. Yeah, it's not his brother. I think it's like his sister's son. So yeah,
something
his
like
nephew,
that.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, who is a health professional, psychiatrist?
Yeah, he's in medical school, yeah.
And has come up with the idea that what is at the bottom could be analyzed, or what am I to say? The doctor does.
Psychoanalyzed.
He is very much a part of a process called Louis body, which is people who have this. It's a form of dementia, but it's a form that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he comes out and is these totally irrational things. Hmm. And then he can come back to that, and then he can be reasonable again.
And what's really interesting or timely about that is that... this is what Robin Williams suffered from.
Yeah.
What is it called?
Lewy body syndrome. Yeah. Yeah. And it creates these horrific moments of absolute dementia, hallucinations, the stripping of Lear, stripping naked is one of the large indications, the hallucinations of the animals and dogs and whatnot. But horrifying hallucinations. And then all of a sudden you level out and you have complete cognizance of what you went through. Whereas dementia is a very slow decline, and you don't really gain that absolute awareness. Once again, you just slowly decline, and so it's a particularly horrific madness.
I didn't know Robin Williams had that.
Yeah, his wife came out a few months after the whole thing, and kind of came clean with what had happened.
Well, so in this aspect of Lear, then Tobias, you are. Basically, are you adapting that?
Yes,
that
I think so.
That dementia?
There's a tiny little scene that really gave me a clue to how appropriate this was. It's right after he's come from saying the most horrible things to his eldest daughter, Goneril. And then he leaves, and he's on the road, and he's with the fool. And the fool is making all of his jokes, and then the out of this, just had this horrific scene. Then the king stands there and says, I did her wrong. He realizes something. And then the fool goes on, and then he comes back and he says, oh, well, they'll forget my nature. I'm so kind to father. And then the fool goes on, and then he comes back and he says, to take it again, perforce. He's so all over the place. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm springboarding.
It sounded
from.
Wonderful hearing you just say some few lines. Would you perform a section from Lear? And I know you came thinking of a short piece.
Yeah, it's short, but I was thinking, you know how Shakespeare always winds up being so appropriate, so relevant today. I don't think there's anything more appropriate for today than this. Poor naked wretches, wheresoe'er you are, that bide the pelting of this pitiless storm. How shall your houseless heads and unfed sides, your looped and windowed raggedness, defend us from seasons such as these? Oh, I have taken too little care of this.
Which section is that from?
What is that? I just do the play.
No,
act three, I think.
Yeah, he's about to go into the hovel.
Yeah, he's about to go.
They've been running through the storm, and they finally have gotten to a point. Kent has led him to a point where they might find some shelter in this little hovel, where they're about to run into Edgar, poor Tom. And Lear takes this one moment where he sends the fool and Kent into the hovel and says, I just need a moment to pray. And it's so amazing because in so many ways, this piece seems to be an homage to the homeless, or at least a testimony for the homeless, because here we have a king who becomes in essence a beggar. And I think of Shakespeare in his day. He was probably the intermediary. He was probably the middleman between the king and the beggar. He probably would see the king in his performances and then turn around that night and end up in the bar with the beggar. You know what I mean? And to be able to connect those two worlds was probably what he, or, you know, at least in my imagination, is what he really wanted to do with this play, is to illustrate for all of us, we are one one mistake right. away from losing everything and becoming a beggar. But when Lear does, he finds everything.
Well, Tobias, I have to think the most difficult aspect, perhaps I'm wrong, is memorization for Lear. Because he has the bulk of the lines.
Well, there are so many things to say about that, getting older not being the least of them. But yes, we started rehearsals,
5 weeks ago.
5 weeks ago, and I started memorizing 4 months ago.
Yeah.
I came in off book because...
I imagine you had some passages already memorized.
Oh, no, I had it memorized. Yeah.
Before you were going to play this.
No, not really. This is my first time out with it.
Wow.
But yeah, 4 months, and there was a point where I thought I wasn't not sure if I'd been started early enough, but I seem to be okay with it now, and happily so. I would hate to have started a regular rehearsal period with trying to memorize.
Yeah, I don't want to say your age, but do you think that this has...
I don't mind. I'm 79. As a matter of fact, that's something we, Resty and I, talked about. Well, I'm a fairly physically okay fellow for my age. I'm a yoga devotee, and I'm in good physical shape. I've got energy and strength.
Yeah.
And there may be some of you say, well, who is this Lear that's jumping all over the stage? Well, I am a man that is Lear's age. So deal with it, because that's the way he's going to be
playing. It's about authenticity in that way. You know what I mean? Like, I can't argue that, nor would I argue that. And I actually see nothing in the text that supports the idea that Lear is physically withering. I only see the support that he's mentally.
Mentally.
I have no problem with that. I've just wondered, has playing Lear, though, kept your mind sharper, do you think?
I think theater as a whole does
keeps
that
your
for
mind.
Me.
Yeah.
Well, and it's a blessing.
And
I mean,
physical,
that's a great question.
Right.
No, I'm very thankful for that all the time. Not only keeping the mind in terms of memorization, but in the theater, one of the things that's lovely about being with Post 5 is they're so young and so talented and so full of energy. Here I am, a 79-year-old guy hanging around that. I'm like a vampire.
I just draw
the energy. What?
Is there any other guy?
Oh, yes. Good Jim Butterfield.
Oh,
who's playing
there you go.
Gloucester. He's a young fella. He's in his early 60s, I think. Something like that. So forget about it.
Well, you can see Tobias Anderson starring as Lear from King Lear at Post 5 Theater, and it opens the 2016 season, directed by Rusty Tennant and starring Tobias Anderson as King Lear. And it's February 26th through March 19th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 7:30 p.m. and Thursday, March 17th at 7:30 p.m. You can find out more at post5theater.org. Tickets are available at boxofficetickets.com, and you can also get this info at stageandstudio.org. And it's also recommended for mature audiences because there is partial nudity and adult situations. So, Rusty, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that opening weekend, half-price tickets, when you go to the website and purchase tickets.
Yeah, we
just
can't say the actual prices, but that's good
to
note.
Cool, yeah. Just type in the code HALF, half.
Say that again?
HALF.
There you go, half.
Half.
Well, also, I just wanted to say in the time remaining, too, Tobias, I remember the first time we met was when you were performing the show Clarence Darrow. The
oh, my.
Show. That goes back away. Do you ever do that show anymore?
Oh, as a matter of fact, there's plans afoot to do him
that's
again.
That's what I was wondering.
In conjunction with a script that I've been trying to get for a long time called The Great Tennessee Monkey Trial. It's taken from the transcript.
Oh, so it's sort of riffing off of that prior piece?
Before we sing off, though, I want to say one thing to the audiences out there. Wait till you see how this theater has been remodeled.
Yeah,
it is one of the best spaces to play in the city right now, and I know what I'm talking about. High ceilings and the whole thing. They've really done a job. You're going to be surprised when you come to the new Post 5 remodeled theater.
Well, you know, you're working with a lot of younger actors, and, you know, you've been in the profession, what, several decades?
This is my 51st year.
There you go. Now, have to give advice to young people, which sometimes you do, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What's your best advice? And I'm going to ask Alan Noss this later, too, when he comes on.
I was asked that recently, and it seems to be the same answer I give. You really want to be careful of having something to fall back on if you're going to go into the theater. You got something to fall back on, more than likely you will do it. If you can do anything else that'll make you happy, do it. If you don't, if you can only live with the theater, go after it.
And why can't
hands.
You do it all?
You know, you can do everything.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, why do you have to do one thing? So what other profession would you have chosen if you weren't in theater?
Well, it'd probably be the arts, but I
what do you think?
Ballet.
ballet.
I had some ballet when I was younger, and
well, you're incredibly fit, so that doesn't come as a
well,
surprise.
Well, I admire ballet dancers. My God, the discipline is extraordinary, and I love ballet.
I would not have picked that. You know,
I once studied with two members, believe it or not, of the Ballet Russe de Monte Carlo.
There's
another story for another day.
Okay, so bucket list. Do you have one for roles? What's left?
There really isn't. This was it.
Did it?
I've done him twice, and I'll do him again. Don't get me wrong,
okay.
And I'll do Clarence. But
check that one off.
Outside of Cyrano, I've pretty much played everything I ever wanted.
Well, congratulations
to play.
On that. That's exciting.
I feel pretty good about it, and I owe that to this wonderful Portland community for letting me fill in all the blanks.
Well, you've seen it change, you know, through the years.
What's
your prognosis for this new, you know, theater community?
I think it's still healthy and getting healthier by the time. I mean, when I came here, there was one theater paying union wages, and now we have four, and a lot of others are doing. I mean, Post 5 is getting me an equity contract, which is important to everyone. Union actors. Yeah, we need them.
Okay, Tobias Anderson, Rusty Tennant, thank you so much for making it to the studio and talking and break legs for the opening this weekend.
Thank you for what you're doing too, D-May.
You
really do get it out there. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Next up, we have Alan Noss. We'll talk about Corrib Theater's Northwest premiere of Chapati by Christian O'Reilly after this short break. Listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Demi Roberts. We just had some music from Molly Baucom, and you can find out more at harpermolly.com. Joining me via phone is Alan Noss. Hello, Alan.
Hi there, Demi.
Hey, it's good to hear your voice. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. Great to hear yours.
Well, you know, I have to ask you this. What's it like being a former artistic director? Because it was Artist Repertory Theater for, oh gosh, how long? 15, 20 years? How long was that?
Well, I was with Artist Repertory Theater...
Since the beginning?
25 years.
25?
Actually, it had been around for 6 years when I joined the company in the 88-89 season.
So what's it like?
Well, it's great. It's fantastic. I loved being an artistic director, and I wanted to hand the theater off to someone who could be with it the way I was with it for a number of years and take it to the next place. And I feel great about Damaso Rodriguez, who's taken over my position. And I think the theater's doing fabulously. So that makes me feel really, really good. So now I just go back to being an artist now. And vacationing and
having a life, right? And you've certainly kept busy with acting roles. You were in The Liar at Artist Rep, and now you are in Corrib Theater's Chapati. that correct? Chapati?
Well, that's the Irish pronunciation.
Yeah, I haven't heard you do an Irish brogue.
I did one a couple of years ago at Artist Rep as well. I was in Playboy of the Western World.
Oh, that's right.
Good fun, and I've always had a real love for Irish writers and Irish poets. So it's great to be doing this piece.
What's your favorite line in this play with your Irish brogue? I'd like to hear like a line.
Oh well, I don't know if I could say it on the radio.
Don't then.
but at one point, he turns to his dog and he says, "So, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Would you like something to eat? And the dog looks at him as if to say, does a dog do a number two in the park?
Oh, dear. So is there an actual dog in this play?
Well,
I know
no.
It's about a man and a dog and his wife.
This is the beauty of Irish storytelling.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are two people on the stage and a fairly empty stage, beautifully designed, set in lights and all that. But it's peopled by these two characters that we meet, and they tell these stories that give us the whole community. We meet all the cats and the dogs, and we go to the vet's office and meet the person who sits at the desk, and we meet the vet, and we meet people in the community, and so it's just full of life.
Well, now you are, it's basically a two-person romantic play at Corrib Theater, and you're co-starring with the lovely Jacqueline Maddox. And
that's right. It's my first time acting with Jacqueline.
Yeah, she's a phenomenal actress.
Sure, someone I've admired actually for a long, long time.
Oh, wow. So tell us a little bit about the play, I mean, itself. You started talking a little bit about it, but also your character, and what's this relationship with this dog?
Well, these are two people that have kind of been removed from participating fully in life by situations that are revealed into the play, and so they put everything into their pets. So my character, Dan, has a little dog that he's named Chipatty, hence the title of the play, because he used to feed him Chipatties when he was a stray at an Indian restaurant, and then Betty's one of those cat people. She's got in the play, she has about 19 plays and counting, she says.
Oh, 19 cats?
19 cats and counting. Yeah.
So, well, that's kind of a lot.
Yeah, a lot. And they have a very chance meeting, and it probably isn't going to go anywhere, but you kind of sense it might, and it eventually does. And you mentioned that it's romantic. It is, I suppose, in a way, but there's nothing. We don't know that's going to happen. It's full of surprises and
it's a
twists
slow
and
build.
Turns, and there's nothing sentimental about it.
Well, Corrib Theater presents the Northwest premiere of Chipatty by Galway-based playwright Christian O'Reilly, directed by Gemma Whalen, and it features Alan Noss and Jacqueline Maddox, and the show runs February 20th through March 13th. Actually, it's already running. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So did you have a good weekend?
Yes, we did. We
good
opened
opening
last
weekend.
Weekend, and we had really great houses, really responsive houses. Well,
so it's running Thursday through Saturday, 7:30, Sunday at 2 p.m., and it's 90 minutes with no intermission at Coho Theater, located at 2257 Northwest Raleigh Street in Portland. For tickets and info, visit corribtheater.org. That's C-O-R-R-I-B theater.org, and you can get that info at stageandstudio.org. I'm wondering, Alan, I asked this from Tobias Anderson just a few moments ago, and we have like 1 minute, but what's on your bucket list for roles? Do you have one? Is there something still that you'd like to do?
No. I've been an actor about 50 years, and I've had a great opportunity to play many roles. What I'm looking forward to is the next role that I don't even know exists.
The original role. You know, you had some great roles. I mean, and what, you know, comes to mind immediately for me still is Alan Turing in Breaking the Code. I mean, that was one of my favorites that you did. So,
I love that. And I've had a chance to play some of the great roles. And I spent 6 years at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and I've played, done a lot of Shakespeare. And but I love playing roles like I'm doing now.
You want to create them?
Yeah, roles that are a surprise to me. Yeah.
With no expectations.
There are some great playwrights out there right now just coming up with fabulous new work.
Well, we look forward to your next original role in an original play. Alan Noss, always a pleasure to talk with you. Have a great time with Japati. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing you. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to engineer Janet Anderson. I'll have this show online later today at stageandstudio.org, as well as on iTunes. And you can like us on facebook.com/stage_studio or tweet me at @stage_studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Happening 2016, a homegrown music forum taking place February 27th from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Apano Jam Space in Portland. Happening 2016 will be an exploratory conversation about how the music scene works in Portland and how artists, professionals, and supporters shape the scene. Panelists include Simon Tam, Jenny Logan, DJ Cliff, and will be moderated by Rebecca Miller. Again, that's Happening 2016, a homegrown music forum taking place February 27th from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Apano Jam Space, 8114 Southeast Division Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tune in to KBOO on Tuesday, March 8th from midnight to midnight as we celebrate International Women's Day with 24 hours of programming produced, hosted, and engineered by women. There will be live music, public affairs with a feminist focus, and female DJs playing all kinds of music to celebrate the creativity, variety, and zeal of the women of the world. Again, that's Tuesday, March 8th, from midnight to midnight here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market, From Our Hands to Yours, celebrating 43 years of American arts and crafts, freshly prepared foods with an international flavor, and local music every Saturday and Sunday from March through Christmas Eve in Waterfront Park. Local artisans, international food, live music, Portland Saturday Market.